2:11. It says, "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." John 4:42 said, "Then they said to the woman, 'Now we believe, not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world.'" Luke 1:68 in the New Living Translation says, "Praise the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has visited and redeemed his people. He has sent us a mighty Savior from the royal line of his servant David, just as he promised through his holy prophets long ago." Acts 5:30 says, "The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree. Him God has exalted to his right hand to be prince and savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins." Acts 13:23 and says, "And from this man's seed, according to the promise, God raised up for Israel a Savior, Jesus. After John had first preached before his coming the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel." So that night when he was born, God sent a Savior to the world, our Lord Jesus. You know, around 2,000 years ago. I want to read you what that means, Savior. It means a deliverer. That is God or Christ. And it's derived, the word there is derived from another Greek word that means to save, sozo. That means to save, deliver, or protect. The King James translates it heal, preserve, save, do well, make whole. So that's all in the sense of when you see the Savior. It's to come and to make whole, to heal, to deliver. And the word Savior specifically means a deliverer. I want to ask the question, deliver from what? Savior from what? You know, people that today, Jesus, we say, you see, text says Lord, Savior, especially at this time of year, Savior, Savior. And sometimes we've seen it so many times, people, it's just religion to a lot of people. And just like we heard in the song, it's a story to a lot of people. Well, you believe. You believe Jesus. It's like this type that people, some people have just made it into this piece of fiction that it's a type. Jesus is a type of this super person. This person that gave himself for others. He's a hero. But people will dumb it down and say that type. That person or that character exists, you know, in different cultures and exists in different texts, and it's just an implementation of that character. That's all Jesus was. In Christianity, he is the hero, but he's much more than that, because in reality, he is the Savior. He is the Son of God. And so he came to earth, and this, you know as well as I do, in this day and age, this time of year, other times of year, but you see so much where, well, we can't say, now people try to make you think, well, you can't say Merry Christmas. That's nonsense. Go ahead and say Merry Christmas all you want. Happy Holidays. Well, if you believe in Christmas, say Merry Christmas. Don't kowtow to that. Well, we can't. Why? Let me ask you a question. If somebody said something to you and said and asked you or wished you happy Hanukkah or something, and they were sincere, and that was coming from them, most people, if it's coming from a sincere person, is not going to be offended at that. Because what are you treating them like? If I tell you what I believe, not tell you what I believe, but wish you something that is dear to my heart, I'm treating you like family. Now, if somebody's trying to go out there, and I think this is the vast majority, in trying to push something on other people, in any context, whether it's Christmas or any time of the year, that nobody likes that when you somebody tries to push something on you. But the vast majority of people are not doing that. They're just sincerely wishing you happiness in this time of year, right? Honestly, it would not offend me, no matter who it was, if they told me, wish me anything, because if they're doing sincerely, they're treating me like their family. Why would I be offended at that? It's nonsense. So don't ever be, I mean, we should not back off what we believe. It's okay to say Merry Christmas. A lot of people believe in Christmas. Now, a lot of people have dumbed it down to just be this secular thing, brought in all kinds of other images, and, you know, of course, the gift-giving and extravagance, and then the debt in January and February that goes for a lot of people because they way overspent in November and December. But we've made it a lot in that sense. And then Jesus is just, well, you know, Christians celebrate Jesus. And even with people that have accepted him, it can still be, well, it's just, yeah, of course we believe on Jesus, and, you know, he came in the manger, and, you know, it just, we celebrate this, and there's, maybe we celebrated it growing up, and so there's an emotional tie there. There's this warm feeling around this time. And, but regardless, so much of what it means when we call him Savior has been dulled. Savior from what? It's kind of like, well, you know, when people talk about being saved and people talk about that Jesus is my Lord and Savior. Savior from what? Let's go over to 2 Corinthians. See, a lot of people don't realize they need a Savior. They say, well, you believe that, that's okay for you. You believe Jesus is that person, fine. I don't believe that. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3. Says, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves, your bondservants, for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We go back to verse 3. It says, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. So the God of this age, the enemy, Satan, he's blinded people's minds because he is the God of this world. And he has people in bondage, whether they know it or not. This world has been held in bondage since Adam fell. And that's why we needed a Savior to deliver us from that bondage. So the whole world is swayed, is deceived, is blinded by the enemy's trickery. And so, yeah, when people say, I mean, good night, it is so obvious. I mean, my children are in school. they will talk about all these other religions and methods, but they will not talk about Christianity now. During this time of the year, they will talk about these different ones. But they will not talk about, they'll totally fly over it. And I'm not going to name the different ones they'll talk about, but they'll learn about their culture. And they'll learn about how this is celebrated. But they will not mention Jesus. They will not mention Christianity. If they talk about Christmas, it's Santa and different things. The concerts, they will have winter concerts now. When they have concerts, they will not sing any of the Christmas songs. And then they'll either have it, if they have something in December, it's a winter concert or a peace concert now. If they have it in January, it's just winter, and it's just all these other songs. They will not touch on Jesus. But they have no problem talking about these other ones, about other religions. Why? Why is it so, notice, it's so offensive to talk about Jesus, we're led to believe, but not, it's okay to talk in detail about somebody else's belief system, but just don't talk about Jesus. Don't sing the carols about that actually mention Jesus or the Lord. I mean, you listen to the radio, ones that are singing Christmas songs, rarely are there any of the traditional Christmas songs and carols. It's all, and I don't mind the ones that are about the festive season. I like some of those songs. They're good. And they go right along, but you don't axe all the other ones. But why? It's not just because, that's the majority and we just don't want to hear it. There is a very, very, very real reason why people get so irritated at Jesus. The reason is because Jesus is the only one that has the power to actually release us from the bondage of Satan, period. The world is under bondage, whether they know it or not, and he has blinded people. And why do people get mad? It's because they're being pressed from behind, whether they know it or not, through the culture, through people's messages, through this mindset that's trying to shut down any mention of Christianity. Why? Because the God of this age certainly does not want the reality of the Savior to be in people's consciousness, because they have an avenue to get out. It is their lies to keep people in bondage. When we sell it, that's why, it's just a story. It just trying to dumb down every part of it make it like more of a fairy tale. And that people that believe in that fairy tale are ignorant. You still believe that stuff. But there is only one way. Look at Colossians 1:9. Just go ahead and take the time to turn there. Colossians 1:9. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. When we think about that night, when we think about the night that the Savior came and was born, that is a very real happening. It is not, so many of the things people have made into, in this day and age, you see, it used to be just had books, but now you have visuals that go with it and things that try to portray like a magical time or times that there were different actually supernatural forces around. But it's made to be, that's just fantasy. The reality is that's true. There is supernatural. And this time that the Lord God came to earth is supernatural. A baby born of a virgin is impossible. But it happened. And every man and woman on the face of the earth, whether they know it or not, their soul and their spirit, they long for. They long for the supernatural. People long for something. They know there's something more than just what you see, and it's been taken out, trying to be taken out of our consciousness, that there can be any more than what we see and feel and think. And we're too educated to believe any such things, even though at the very same time, the supernatural references are increasing on both sides. You see the rise of psychics and psychic things in the pop culture and spiritual things and demonic things and haunted things. People are fascinated by horror movies. Those images are coming straight from hell. But they're supernatural. You see ghosts and spirits and hauntings that people talk about in movies and both in real. You start to see reports, and it's always like fools believe in this stuff. It couldn't really be real. You know, some house is quote-unquote possessed, and people are walking, or things are, you know, moving around by themselves, and people are walking up walls, but that we know that couldn't exist. Guys, that stuff exists. I'm not saying every story you read is absolutely true, but there is a reality. There is a spiritual realm. There is the miraculous. There is the supernatural. There are miracles. There are demons. There are angels. That's real. In this world, we've gotten away. Well, we're just so educated that we know it's not. We don't know hardly anything compared to what there can be known. Good night. Where we live compared to the vastness of the universe, and we're going to make statements like we know. Never been there, never been back how many thousands of years? Don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, let alone 100 years from now, but with certainty, we're going to say, we know. That's foolishness. That's foolishness. And then at the same time, there is no God, because God has not proven himself. God, if he was going to do any more to prove himself, would have to show up. He's already visited the earth. The earth and the creation calls out that there is a creator. This just doesn't happen by itself. But all this is twisted. Why the push to say that just doesn't exist? Why the push to say it's stories and just don't mention Jesus? Why people get mad when you mention Jesus? Why? Because there is an enemy that has them like this. And if you start poking at the thing that can release them, the key, there's a pushback. But it's okay. Talk about these other things. Why? There's no power. It's not just that the majority of people historically in America have been Christian. It's not just, well, it's just the majority. That's not the reason people get mad when you mention Jesus. Or that he's the Savior. Or that he is the only way. People get irritated, mad about this. Well, we don't know. There's many ways to God. There are not many ways to God. There's one. There's one. There's one Savior. There's one way. Only one way. There is only one way. Well, you know, I'm a good person. Has nothing to do with it. Has nothing to do with it. Our goodness cannot release us from the bonds of the enemy. You guys find Colossians? Colossians 1, 9. For this reason also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, and being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us or transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Notice verse 13 and 14. He has delivered us from the power of darkness. He's talking to Christians. He's saying what happened through Christ. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed or transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption. That means we were paid for through His blood. That's the only thing that could possibly make the payment for us, is the blood of the Savior. This is not myth. I'm telling you, this is what people say. Well, you know, you have the Greek mythology and all this. This is just mythology. It's not mythology. This is the truth. Other things are copies. Other things have come down from this idea. But there is a Son of God. And only He could offer the payment for you and I. Period. And so we were transferred out of this family of death. Had a bad father. Jesus said to the religious leaders, "You are of your father, the devil." Not everybody is in the same family. Did you know that? Yep. People, this is real popular, the brotherhood of man. We're all God's children. That's not true. God said, Jesus, He said, "You're of your father, the devil." And He said that to some of the most religious people that were around. He said, "You're a liar. You're murderers like your father." He didn't say, "My father." Jesus did not say, "You are in my family." No, whether people know it or not, there is a father. His name is Satan. And he has a bunch of children, and he is not good. He is not a good daddy. He'll kick people to the corner. He'll kill them. He'll use them until they're of no worth. I mean, you think of the most wicked person you've ever heard of, and you can multiply it times whatever number you want to come up with, and you're going to... Satan is more wicked. You see wickedness in this earth, it's nothing compared to the Father. You see people in crime families and things, you know, just use people and throw them out. That's Satan. People think they're getting in good. They're you know what? Look at these rock stars that have been over the decades. You see people, they're going pretty good, and then they're out of commission at 28. You know? Overdose or something. They're doing tons for the enemy, but he just tosses them aside or just runs them. Oh, well, get another one. And here comes another one. I'm going to help them. And people think they're in good. How could you live on that side? You don't know any time. I mean, murderers, cheaters, liars all the time. You know, you can't trust anybody. The demons, they don't tell the truth. How does that system work? Yet that's the family, that the world is under darkness. It's been under that shadow of darkness ever since Adam and Eve. We're used to it. We don't realize how dark it is, but it's dark. I'm convinced when we get into heaven, we're going to be like, "Oh, good night. What?" We're going to realize how dark this world is, because it is. The only light, it's just a fraction of what it used to look like at creation. This is not what God created. This is a fallen state. And it's some beautiful stuff places. Imagine what it's going to look like when it gets redone. The new heaven, new earth. Wow. I mean, you know, there's some beautiful places. There's mountains and lakes and hills. There's some beautiful places, but that's fallen. Imagine how beautiful it is. Imagine how beautiful heaven is. Heaven's a real place. There's people there right now having a good time. No devil. No death. No pain. No sorrow. They're right there. It's real. It's not in this dimension. Must not exist. What? We can't see it, so it doesn't exist? No, there is a very real spiritual element. Verse 13, "He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love." We have redemption. "To in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins." So we've been redeemed. So we were in this family of this murderous, wicked father, and Jesus came in, paid the price for all humanity, made the way for men to have the opportunity to get out, if they'll believe. The Savior of the world. I mean, Herod went about trying to kill all the babies. Why? I mean, look at the motivation. Why? He's motivated by the enemy to wipe out the answer that is going to release men from his grasp. It's a dark world. And this baby comes into it, and there's angels announcing this birth. It is a huge deal. This nice, right on cue. It's amazing. The more I see it, the more you see it over here, it's just, yeah, you think, wow, this is, it's this supernatural story. And people have dumbed it to where, that, well, it is just a story. It's a nice story. Somebody generated it, you know, to make us, you know, they were sitting around a campfire or something. And how did we get here? So they invented Adam and Eve and, you know, and Noah, and they just invented all this stuff. And then they invented the Savior, the superhero. He came through a virgin, and, you know, these angels. I mean, just, it was all invented. That's, people have got to where, you know, and we're more educated and blinded to the answer. That is exactly where the enemy would like them. Blind. Think we're intellectually here and blinded to anything. Blinded that the Son of God did not come. The Savior did not come. If you don't believe the Savior came, you can't be released. It stops right there. And how many people are in that boat? Well, I don't believe Jesus. 1 Timothy 2. Let's go ahead and turn there. 1 Timothy 2. Our Savior. First Timothy 2, verse 1. Therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Notice that. He desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. God does not will that anybody should go to a devil's hell. You know, people say all kinds of things in ignorance. Well, you know, hell, what is hell? This is not, I mean, why would a loving God set it up so that somebody would have to go to hell and, you know, jump through all these hoops? It doesn't make any sense. It's ignorance. God did not just, it's like it's a game. It's not a game. That is reserved for the devil and his angels. And anybody that won't receive the Savior who has already bought and paid for the way out is going, if people choose, everybody has a choice. Believe God and believe on Jesus or don't. There is a God that sways the whole world trying to make this choice, not believing God, the answer. Trying to influence men to reject Jesus, even though Jesus has paid for the sins of the whole world. He's already paid for it, but people have to receive it. And there, people have two choices. And he has swayed men and swayed so much of humanity and stories and fiction that people are writing and television shows trying to make it look like Jesus is nothing more than fantasy. And people have the ability to accept or reject Jesus. If people reject him and listen to the liar and listen to the God of this world, they will be they will go to the same place that the liar is going, that the father of lies, the serpent, is going. God is not sending them there. He's just. He has already paid for it. He's already made in every way. And people have to come and say, I call on you. I believe you. I said this a few weeks ago. People in ignorance ask questions like, well, what about the people that don't know about Jesus? They just grew up in a different culture. What about them, huh? That's an ignorant question. It's like people think they got you. Gotcha. You've seen it over and over in the Word. And I've heard stories over and over in modern day. If people will believe and call out to God in what they can see and know, because Romans says the Godhead is clearly evident through the creation that's made. If you can't look at creation and look at a newborn baby and say, there is a God, and cry out to Him, you are rejecting what God has shown of Himself. God is not hiding Himself completely. He has revealed Himself through His creation. But people reject that. But if people will call out and say, I know of a Muslim person that's a pastor now out in California, was completely away from anything that had to do with Christianity, but believed that there was a God and cried out and through different circumstances came to hear about Jesus. When people will believe on what they know and say, God, I know there's more. I believe there is a God. God, that gives God access legally to get the gospel to them. I don't care where they live. That's what missionaries do. I've heard of villages that are in the middle of nowhere that people knew there was a God. They cried out to a God and a missionary came to this small village, and these people, when they saw him coming around, said, the corner said, you're going to tell us about the true God. That's people. How does that happen? Supernaturally. God will make sure that those people hear the gospel. Because He's a just God. But people have to make the first move. They have to act on what they do know. You have people in the United States that have heard the gospel so much that they've turned off to it. It's just there and they don't believe it. So they've shut down God's avenue to be able to minister to them. They've rejected. And a lot of those have heard the gospel. If they've rejected the Savior, there's no other way. There is no other way for them to be reconciled with God. Satan, he won't. The only payment that was made for men is the blood of the Son of God. It's not like, well, am I good enough? It has nothing to do with it. That won't cut it. The price is too great. The only payment that could be made was the Son of God. Period. He had to come. So when we come and when we celebrate Him coming to earth, it's the beginning of the redemption of mankind and the only way. Look at the next verse. Or look at 3 and 4 and we'll go into the next verse. Verse 3, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Verse 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom or payment for all to be testified in due time, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle, and am speaking the truth in Christ and not lying. I didn't think he was lying, did you? A teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. But notice verse 5. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. God Himself sent His Son in the form of a man, and He has identified with us for eternity. Jesus, if you look in the scriptures, and when He came back, He had a flesh and bone body. He has identified with us. He has identified with mankind for all eternity. He made that payment, and that payment was just and right in His sight to give Himself. But that is the only payment that could be made. Look at your scripture sheet, 1 John 3, 8 through 9. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. That's the whole reason he came, is to break up and destroy the kingdom of Satan. He didn't come for himself. Jesus did not need to be saved. Jesus came because we needed to be saved. We needed deliverance. We needed to be transferred from the power of darkness. We're the ones that were getting beat around. Imagine if he wouldn't have come for us. But he reached out and he saw you and I and all of mankind. And he said they're worth it. And he came, humbled himself, and I don't think we understand the extent of what that means for him to come in the form of a man. He didn't come in the form of an angel. That's a created being. He identified with us. I mean, in the form of a little baby coming, having to be taken care of, the Son of God, the Almighty, came and he's helpless. Submitted to the will of God. Why? So that he could make that payment. Because that's the only way it could happen. There's no way. That's the only way that we could get transferred out of that kingdom. He could see us getting knocked around by this father that doesn't love us, doesn't care for us. But that's the only way he could do it. So he came to earth that he might destroy the works of the devil. Now look at a couple other scriptures on your sheet. 2 Peter 1:1, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Down a little bit further, I look down on your sheet, I moved it down there. It says, I am writing to you to share the same precious faith we have. This faith was given to you because of the justice and fairness of Jesus Christ, our God and Savior. Look at John 3:16. Very familiar verse to most people. But 16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. But notice, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish. Should not perish and go the same way that the enemy, that the liar is going to go, Satan. But that they would have everlasting life. And he sent him into the world that the world through him might be saved. But this is the other thing. Jesus was the only payment. Jesus was the only way. But he is the Son of God. See, there are other religions will acknowledge Jesus, that he lived and that he was a man. And even now, well, Jesus, fine, you're making a big deal about Jesus at this time. He was a man like any other man. He came, yes, this baby came, fine, historically, we acknowledge that, but he was nothing more than a man. And this is critical. Because if he's not the Son of God, he couldn't do what he did. It wasn't just a man's blood. It was the Son of God. Had to be the Son of God. Look at Luke 22 on your sheet. Luke 22:66, as soon as it was day, the elders of the people, both chief priests and scribes, came together and led him into their council, saying, "If you are the Christ, tell us." But he said to them, "If I tell you, you will by no means believe. And if I also tell you, you will by no means answer me or let me go. Hereafter, the Son of Man will sit on the right hand of the power of God." Verse 70. Then they all said to him, "Are you then the Son of God?" So he said to them, "You rightly say that I am." And they said, "What further testimony do we need? For we have heard it ourselves from his own mouth." They were furious that Jesus said he was the Son of God. So he is a liar. If he's not, he was a liar. He wasn't a good man, or he was insane, thought he was the Son of God. But he wasn't just a good person that happened to believe he was the Son of God. He had some major flaws, or he was the Son of God like he said he was. But this makes people mad today. There are other religions. They specifically say in their holy books, Jesus is not the Son of God. They are anti-Christ. Why hit on that so hard? Because he is the Son of God, and he is the only way to redeem humankind. It makes people mad. It makes religious people mad when you talk about Jesus being the Son of God. Because he had to be the Son. A man could not redeem other men. Only the blood of the Son of the living God could. So people get mad. They get furious. They get in your face. Don't use that name. You saw the religious leaders in Acts say, "Don't speak any longer in that name." You could see it. They're just grating on them. "Shut up! Don't talk! Don't say that name!" Why? Why? Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You know, call him Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Why does that make you so mad? It's not just the people. It's the spiritual force behind it. In Ephesians 6, it says, we don't wrestle with flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. The demonic forces, Satan himself, is pushing. He is the god of this world, and he's pushing, trying to push on the truth to be extinguished. He always has, and he's making another run right now. Big time. On Christianity. Shut it up. Don't talk about Jesus. Don't talk about Christmas. Don't talk about anything that has to do with that religion. We want all religions. Why? Because then there's no Savior. You shut down the avenue by which men can believe on him. And this, the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, is a central point. Fine, we acknowledge he's a man. He's a prophet. But he just wasn't the Son of God. If he's not the Son of God, he can't be the Savior. If he wasn't born of a virgin, he can't be the Savior. His blood is tainted already if he has a human father. These things are not side issues. These are central. You know, we've talked about this. Don't let people that don't believe in what the Word of God says, don't stop with one truth. They don't believe any of it. But when they start trying to push on one thing, what they're doing is trying to blow the whole thing apart. Because the same people that won't believe that the flood happened or don't believe that creation happened, don't believe that Jesus was born of a virgin. They don't believe that he went to the cross. They might believe he went to the cross, but certainly not that he died and rose again 3 days later. They don't believe it. So you can't become a Christian unless you believe those things. The Bible says you have to believe that he rose from the dead. That he is the Son of God. That's critical. Why is that so hammered on? Because that's saving knowledge. That's knowledge of the truth. Why is that being trying to shut down in our school systems? And it absolutely is. Don't talk about this. I've had, there's teachers that said, don't mention Jesus. I mean, just on the side, just even not preaching to anybody. Don't say that word. Why? Why? Because I guarantee you there's other things that are mentioned left and right. I've heard it. Why? Because this is the truth that will set people free. And this season and Easter, you want to call it, Resurrection Sunday. These times are when it's emphasized traditionally about the fact that there was a Savior that came and redeemed. And so, well, can't get a, even if we're going to mention it, then we're going to dumb it down majorly with a bunch of sideshows. You know, I'm not against, per se, these different things. It's just that they've come so to the forefront, you know, but eggs and chicks and bunnies and, you know, Santa, the real Santa was a good person, but, you know, the implementation that people focus on and reindeer and everything, again, not a bad thing, but it when it comes front and center, it's not a good thing. It's a sideshow, but it drowns out the reality that we're dealing with nothing more serious. I mean, nothing could be more serious than the fact that the Savior of the world came. Yes. It's fine if you'd say all these Christmas, you know, weather outside is frightful, you know, all these things. Most wonderful time of the year. And I like those songs. Sung those songs. But if that's all you have? Why is it the most wonderful time of the year? Because it's cold and snow. I mean, seriously, why? We're bracing to go into the winter again. I'm not thinking, now this is exactly where I want to be. No, I'm thinking July is a good time. Especially around here, it's pretty nice. You know, it's not like you're in Oklahoma, good night, where you have to go out. It's 113, you got to run your car to cool it down before you get in. It's pretty nice. I mean, why? Why is it a special time? Because there's a central thing that happened, a central event in history. People talk about the magic of Christmas. Why is it magical? It all goes back to the fact that there was a supernatural event. There is a Savior. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. God is so good. So good. Aren't you glad you know about the Savior? Aren't you glad you know the truth? That doesn't mean we have to go and get in people's face and say, you have to, don't you know? But we don't have to back down either. We can love people. And we don't have to shy back and say, well, I just better not say, I might offend them. Believe me, most people are not offended. Most people will welcome. They're like, oh, somebody that has the, you know, gumption to actually say something in this day and age. When you hear somebody say Merry Christmas, it's like, oh, we can say that? Yeah, we can say that. Well, you know, we're just not educated then. You know, you don't understand that could offend somebody. Reality, it doesn't offend most people. You treating somebody like they're close, honestly, if somebody came up and wished me sincerely, they're happy, whatever, and they're being sincere about it, that would bless me. It'd be like, hey, you're treating me like one of the people that, you know, like is close to you. You know, that would not offend me in the least. It might offend a small percentage of people that want to stamp out everything anyway. Nonsense. But aren't we glad we know? We can enjoy this time. Hallelujah. Praise God, enjoy it. Yeah, enjoy all the other things and enjoy the festivities and enjoy the food and enjoy the, you know, decorations. But it's not empty. It's not all there is. You thank God that Jesus, you came. This is the start of it. In that manger was the Son of the living God. Amen. Hallelujah.